This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to ENN
Part 1.
Brought to you by our friends at DoorDash. Sign up for Dash Pass from DoorDash today and try it free for 30 days. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Thursday already, November 2nd.
And good evening to Don.
Sausage is the pool of meats.
It's one of the smartest things Don's ever said. Is the pool of meats. I'm in a really frustrated mood right now.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe our listeners. I'm saying it out loud, so maybe our listeners can commiserate with me. I got Bear the other day from my ex-wife, and upon getting him, since I got him back, he's just been. I guess he's getting older, and the back and forth is just not fun. And
it's always tough on the kids.
And, well, you're joking, but he's acting psychotic. I mean, he is. It seems to be spite going to the bathroom all over my apartment, and I'm at my wit's end. For some reason, of all the frustrations in life that can happen, this dog who I love more than anything, when he randomly does something and I cannot understand why, I'm done with this rug. I'm going to have to get a new rug. It's enough. You can only clean it so many times.
Did he go one or two?
He's done it all.
Really?
He may have made up three, okay?
Interesting.
You never heard of someone going three before, have you?
Well, I could guess.
I think three is like projectile vomit.
Okay, fine. He didn't go three. He went four, okay? It's everything. So I'm going to try to pull it together. And I remember I've watched high-level newscasts before and seen some of the great broadcasters of our time start the evening news by saying that their mood might be off because of dog urination.
I think Dan Rather used to do this a lot.
And I remember seeing Brokaw power through that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do the same thing that Brokaw would do.
Good.
Power through the urination. Do you guys want to start with foosball?
Whatever you feel. This is your vehicle.
Don't do that.
I'm told it's not mine.
Your vehicle. It's the ENN with Peter Rosenberg. Yeah, there's even a graphic.
Well, tonight, guys, we'll start football then. You just mentioned it. The New Orleans Saints will start Tayshaun Hall, a.k.a. Taysom Hill, at quarterback versus the Cowboys. Alvin Kamara, out.
Out.
That's why that line has gone all the way up to 6.5 points in favor of the Cowboys.
From 4.5 yesterday.
And God, it's such an unsexy. Now, there's a world, guys, in which the Cowboys win by, 24 points. But there's a world in which they lose outright. You can't rely on this team for anything. They're not to be counted on.
You're rooting against them, though, because of your Washington football team.
You think?
Looked at the games early. I think I'm picking against the Washington football team tomorrow.
And Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you like us? I'm curious.
It's the feel.
Don, do you know who we're playing?
I'm not off the top of my head.
We're at the Raiders, Raiders are favored.
I
got to tell you, guess what? I might roll the dice with Washington football team again.
Oh, good. Then I can gain a point on you.
Are you ever going to gain a point, though? We don't.
Pick them.
That's right. So Mike LaFleur spoke about Zach Wilson's performance over the weekend in a win against Houston in positive terms. He said he looked like a 22-year-old who hasn't played in a month. Just him getting back was going to be huge in terms of his development. I felt like there were plays. This is according to Wilson now. I felt like there were plays that I could have made, should have made, regardless of just making the tough throw, Wilson said. He did end up completing, though, his 13 of his final 19 passes. And so the LaFleur and company did not see it as an all bad performance from Zach Wilson. And in the end, guys, as bad and as ugly as it was, showed a little grit and they got a win.
Listen, I don't expect them to be really nasty about him. But, I mean, they're trying to put lipstick on a pig. You don't have to be an expert to watch the game. He was terrible.
But it's a Ken doll pig.
But he was terrible. All joking aside, he was awful. And then I think LaFleur said, "So, well, you know, he played like a 22-year-old that hadn't played. Okay, we get how old he is. But you drafted a guy out of BYU. You didn't draft Mac Jones out of Alabama.
How's Mac Jones playing?
Great. You didn't draft Trevor Lawrence. You didn't draft somebody out of a big-time school. You drafted somebody that didn't play anybody. So, I mean, I'm tired of hearing, like, he's 22 years old. You drafted him. You knew what he was.
Yeah, but it's not all judged on now.
I get it, but, I mean, he looked pretty – he didn't look good. Look good.
Honestly, you know, Sala especially would come on every Monday with us in the beginning of the year when he was absolutely awful and still found positives.
And that's what he should do, but right. We don't have to buy it. He doesn't look good. He looks lost.
We ask these coaches the question, but we understand that you're not going to get a straight answer because they're not going to kill their player. But you look at it, and he looks like a kid that's not ready to play. And that's why so many people thought that it would have been a good idea to have a veteran quarterback. They decided to play him. And unfortunately, he missed four games, so he's a little bit behind. It's week 13, but for him, it's not. It's still like week 9. All right, they won the game. It's an awful team they beat.
The Giant and Jet quarterbacks. I mean, we had on Dan Orlovsky. It was great breaking it down. His footwork is wrong. We hear the same thing about Daniel Jones protecting the foot. Why are the Giant and Jet quarterbacks always so far away from what they should be as franchise quarterbacks?
Well, on the flip side,
because with Daniel Jones, this is year 3. This is not comparing Peyton Manning in year 1 when he had 100 interceptions. This is year 3. Yeah. Let's see something, man.
And we're going to get to Daniel Jones in a second. Now, on the flip side of the coin, though, Trevor Lawrence on Sunday, 23 of 42 for 228 yards, a touchdown, and a pick. Not exactly beautiful. The week before that, 16 of 25, 158 yards, no touchdowns. The week before that, 16 of 35, 162 yards, no touchdowns.
No, we asked Orlovsky this, though, Peter. And he said he has no support. They don't know what they're doing offensively. His offensive line's worse than the Jets. He said that Trevor Lawrence looks great. We asked him. So sometimes you can't look at the numbers. You have to look at the tape. And Orlovsky is poring over tape and said that Lawrence making unbelievable throws. When's the last unbelievable throw that Zach Wilson made?
With all due respect, though, and you know I'm saying it, so I mean all due respect. All due respect. Orlovsky and the rest of them, I mean, they all change their minds so much. They're in on someone in preseason. They're not in on them in the first four games. Week 12, they start to see something they like. I'm not hitting the panic button on Zach Wilson, particularly when he comes back from an injury and looked particularly rough. And we know he may have been back too soon.
And I look at that overthrowing, the short yardage stuff, like he's throwing it too hard for the receivers to catch the ball. That, to me, is just he's just too nervous. He's too high strung. Because that, to me, is not aggressiveness. He calls it's aggressive. Well, then it would have been a problem at BYU. This would have been picked up. He's got to calm down. You know, I think he's a little too high strung with this. So he's got to figure that out and just be calm. And everything else is going to come into place. I know he can play the position, but if you're sitting here getting ready for your 10th game of the season and you're throwing to a receiver 5-10 yards away a 100-mile-per-hour fastball, then you've got to calm down.
I mean, he's throwing that pass, right? Let's look at a pitcher. Let's say a pitcher falls off toward the first base side, feels a ball between first base and the mound, and then fires 100 miles an hour to the first baseman. What are you doing? Yeah. It's called touch, baby.
Right. And but Michael, he obviously had the touch in college, so he's just too amped up right now.
Or did he? He lost his job in his second year. He had to win it back.
But did we – listen, I don't remember all the critiques of the kid, but did we see that he had a problem with short yardage passes, that he was throwing the ball too hard to his receivers? Or is this a guy that's in the NFL right now and he's trying to do a little too much and he's just got to calm down?
because they've got an offense for him that Josh Johnson excelled in, that Mike White excelled in, that Joe Flacco almost threw for 300 yards in. And then he comes in against an awful Houston Texans team and looks below mediocre. So I know it's only one game and he's coming off missing a month, but we got to start seeing something here, because you know what? There isn't going to be, oh, well, he's just a in his second year. That doesn't exist. Now we got to see something.
Now, speaking of the Daniel Jones piece of this conversation, let's hear from Amani Toomer. The Giants great was on with KJM earlier, and he was asked if Jones is a franchise quarterback.
I am not sure. I mean, I like the kid, too. I met him a couple times. Great dude. But the thing about him is, if he didn't turn the ball over with interceptions and fumbles, he would be okay. But when you're a quarterback, a young quarterback, and you're turning the ball over, and there's not a dramatic Peyton Manning drop in interceptions, it's really hard, because you're going to be fighting to try to win every game when you turn the ball over the way he does. And such silly manners, too, like getting the ball just stripped out of his hand. I mean, when have you seen that other quarterbacks? I mean, this is a while he's been doing this. I hope he can do well, because, you know, I like him and I want him to do well, everybody on the Giants. But at some point in time, you know, you got to kind of, you got to grow or go.
Love Amani.
Can I ask you a question, Don?
But sure.
How has he never become like a star broadcaster? He's got a beautiful voice.
Well, he's been working in radio for a while, and I know he does some stuff with the Giants.
But he should be bigger is what I'm saying.
Listen, I was just going to say, he might be one of the most underrated Giants ever. He was a terrific player. A terrific player. I'm not saying, you know, retire his number or, you know, Ring of Honor stuff, but I think he's kind of underappreciated. And you're right. I've got to know him. He did some stuff with us. Yeah, he's really just a terrific guy.
Well, let's see how you feel about his opinions after his take on Dave Gettleman.
Oh.
There's been so many misses. It's just, it's tough. It's tough to defend, but I still think that you got to give opportunities. I know Giants fans don't want to hear that, but it's tough. It's a tough situation because I know him personally.
Well, let's go back to the Daniel Jones thing. So you ask Amani Toomer, is he the guy? So you're three. Don't know. I mean, come on. And I'm not knocking it. Amani, but
no
one knows.
That's the problem.
That's an epic fail.
That's the problem. If you draft a quarterback sixth overall and we're nearing the end of his third year and we still don't know, then we know. Or you could only start making excuses, offensive line. Hey, we got him weapons. And I can't sit there and say that the offensive line's been great, but you can't say every mistake he's made is because he doesn't have time. There have been misses. Come on, guys, we're all watching the games together. How many times have you, like, we had those group thread texts where it's, well, how did he miss that throw? Oh, that's on him.
Well, how about this? Let me throw this at you guys. When was the last time that 2.5 years into a quarterback, no one was sure if they had it or not, and they went on to become the awesome franchise quarterback?
You know what? That's an unbelievable question, and nothing comes to mind.
Well, Phil Simms, but it was more injury than ineffectiveness. Like, Phil got drafted in 79, and he didn't get his job back until, God, what was it, Michael? Because Scott Bruner ended up being the starting quarterback in what was it, 83, right? So It took a while, but most of that was because Phil couldn't stay on the field.
And remember, back then, you didn't have to make a decision in 4 years. You could hold the guy forever. There weren't the rules they have now. You have to make this decision in 4 years.
Did after 2.5, were you pretty sure with Eli already?
Well, yeah, because his second year they went to the playoffs. What was it, 11-5?
And he had 24 touchdowns to 17 picks.
Yeah. Again, it wasn't like awesome, but, you know, and they were a good team, but he went to the playoffs the second year, went to this playoffs third year, in the third year, and the fourth year winning a Super Bowl. So but to be fair, if we go back, there were questions whether he was worth, you know, trading up to the first overall pick and all that, but you still saw enough. And the team was winning, and there were enough big plays where you can circle at least a dozen times. You're like, that's what I'm talking about. Most of Daniel Jones' stuff came in those first couple of games he played.
And you know what? You knew Darnold wasn't the right guy in year three. You kind of knew Sanchez wasn't going to be right, even though he made the playoffs the first 2 years. After that, it was kind of downhill.
Well, and for Jones, what's tough is year one – he threw for 3,000 yards and 24 touchdowns and 12 picks. And then In year two, he drops down. He's close in yardage, 29-43, but it's 11 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. And now here we are in year three, it's 10 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. So you're just not sure which direction he's going.
I got a buddy of mine just texted me, Drew Brees.
Drew Brees had the injuries, though.
He had the shoulder.
And he was traded in the middle of it, too.
Yeah, that's a tough one. He's but it's different.
He was traded from San Diego to New Orleans.
Right. Because they,
but he had the shoulder injury. They didn't know. And that's why, remember the Dolphins made a deal for him and then they called it off because of the shoulder? Then New Orleans took a chance. So that's kind of apples to wrenches.
Well, now, he is right, though, in the sense that once he started playing, 17 over 16, 11 over 15, and then in 2004, boom, 27 over 7, and he's off to the races. And he becomes Drew Brees.
Well, because, and why do you think that is? All of a sudden, he's got Sean Payton, got the right.
No, but that no. But that's the amazing part. It's before that.
Let me see. When did Payton take over?
No. He was still in San Diego.
Oh, that's right.
The beginning of Drew Brees' career, by the way. I challenge anyone to remember him being in San Diego for as long as he was. Don, he was playing in San Diego 2002 through 2005.
Yeah,
and got good.
Right, but his first year only got into one game. Then a full season in 02, 11 games in 03.
And those were rough years. But after that, he's off.
Yeah, but you know what's amazing is that I remember when, after they made the trade and he went to New Orleans, and they drafted Rivers, like, and they're playing the Jets, I kept writing Brees, like, because I kept, like, because he was there a while. Like, but you think so much about the Saints, but, you know, he was 27 years old his first year with New Orleans. But he did go to a Pro Bowl in San Diego at 25. So you're right. You saw three 3,000-yard seasons, 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions in 2004. So, yeah, he was showing you something by then.
One of our listeners says that Amani Toomer was in the original Ring of Honor for the Giants. So he's in there.
I just wish Giant fans would appreciate, and I guess they do. I don't think he gets talked about enough. I mean, you think about that first Super Bowl, and it's all Eli, and it's all Michael Strahan and Tuck and Umanura. He had some big catches. That catch in the championship game against the Packers is one of the greatest catches I've ever seen. And you think of the Manningham play in the Super Bowl because it's the Super Bowl. But do you remember that catch? Tiptoeing, stretched out. One of the biggest catches in Giants history. Love Amani Toomer.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and he was damn good in those clips. I enjoyed that. This is two things. Antonio Brown and his Buccaneers teammate, Mike Edwards, have been suspended for the next three games without pay for, quote, misrepresenting their vaccination status under the NFL's and the NFLPA's COVID-19 protocols. It was announced earlier today. We know that he had been accused of acquiring a fake COVID vaccine card by his former chef, and he has now accepted the discipline and waived his right to an appeal.
But said that he was vaccinated. What a fraud.
I'm saying
his agent said he was vaccinated.
He's trying to play it both ways.
Listen, and as we said this earlier, so everybody get it straight before you get, you know, your hair out of order. You don't want to be vaccinated. That's fine, man. You can play, but you can't have it both ways. You're allowed to play if you're not vaccinated. But then to make it up that you are vaccinated and then have people around you that might be compromised, thinking that you're vaccinated. That's just, it's criminal.
Well, it is technically criminal, right? It's a federal offense.
To have a fake vaccination card, yes.
So why isn't he being turned over to the police?
I don't know.
Speaking of COVID, by the way, LeBron James, according to Dave McMenamin, has been tested rigorously since returning to L.A. from Sacramento. He's had 8 COVID tests since Saturday, all of which came back negative. His test in Sacramento was a false positive, and he will be back on the court Friday against the Clippers.
That makes me feel better.
Why?
Because I
just want LeBron to be okay, Don.
Not only that, of course, that goes without saying, is that I kind of cringe every time I see somebody test positive because I want to try to move on. And so every time I see these games postponed or guys going to COVID protocol, it's just always that reminder that we're still dealing with this thing.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Did you guys see the story about this Michigan high school basketball team? Don, this is amazing. A kid on a Michigan high school basketball team, Notre Dame Prep. It's the freshman basketball team. He was adding teammates' phone numbers to a group text when he accidentally added the wrong number, and didn't realize that the person he was texting as the last member of this freshman basketball team was, in fact, Tampa Bay Bucks cornerback Sean Murphy Bunting.
Okay.
Murphy Bunting responded by asking if they meant to add him to the chat. They thought it was their teammate Luca. So he goes, no, and explains who it is. At this point, Murphy Bunting just starts to enjoy this whole experience because the kids now are like, no, it's not. You're just playing a game with us. So he sends a picture of him sitting in the locker room. And the kids are like, what? And then he sends a picture of Gronk. Then before you know it, Fournette has the phone and FaceTimes all the kids in the group chat. Now Leonard Fournette is just walking around on FaceTime with 12 freshman basketball players. At which point, Tom Brady himself jumps on the FaceTime. And these kids absolutely lose their mind. It's just a really fun story. The kids were obviously over the moon. They promised to not share Murphy Bunting's number, which I believe, by the way, but I also believe he'll be getting text messages from these kids for the rest of his life.
Yes. That's a
so what
story.
Happened was they put down the wrong number, and they just by happenstance.
Just happened to be a player on the Bucks.
Wow.
And then he was just like having fun with the kids because they don't believe it. So he just keeps pushing it. And eventually Tom Brady gets on the phone.
That must have been the over the top moment.
Yeah.
I mean, because I'm sure that all 12 of those guys had no idea what Sean Murphy Bunting looked like.
Right.
Right. All they could see, though, was that he was sitting in his locker
right.
as a Tampa Bay Buck.
But Gronk was probably a big moment, too, because Gronk is recognized.
Did he come on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Gronk was there, too.
And Bruce Arians popped on, I heard, and said, by the way, there's no story at all with Antonio Brown, nothing.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's what he said.
And was so jealous he wasn't in that day, Peter.
For Arians.
No, I'm glad now.
A day after signing with the Cubs, Marcus Stroman has tweeted a thank you to the Mets organization and fans.
Okay.
Huge thank you to the Mets and the city of New York for those last few years. Created some friendships that will last forever, and got to block literally thousands of New York sports fans on Twitter.
God, that's all I get are people screenshotting that they were blocked by Marcus Stroman.
I was joking about the end part, but he really did block tons
I know,
of people during his time here.
Well, he and I became very close, so I'm going to miss him.
Speaking of Dukies, who do tend to annoy people at times, the Nets are supposedly still open to a potential Kyrie Irving trade, according to Ian Begley. Nothing yet, but they are keeping their eyes open. And also, lastly, KD, player of the month for the Nets for the 15th time in his career. First time as a Brooklyn Net.
Yeah, he's good. I don't know if you know that.
And also, a lot of speculation last night as to why Drake went to go see the two worst teams in the NBA play. He was courtside at the Thunder-Rockets game. And no one knows why.
No, I know. I read why.
What'd you hear?
He's close with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Apparently so.
Yeah. Did you see the story about him, though? This is hilarious. He's sitting down at courtside, right?
Okay.
And there are two elderly people sitting next to him. I mean, not like 90, but...
But older than him.
They're probably in their 70s, you know?
And he befriended them, yes.
But the guy, you know, people are looking at him or whatever, and the guy says, are you somebody famous? And Drake thought that was like the greatest thing. And took a selfie with them, and just, you know, he became buddies with them.
No, he
but
posted,
they had no
he
idea
posted
who
them
he was.
On his, he posted them on his IG story and wrote, my new parents.
Yeah. They had no idea who he was.
That will do it for ENN, delivered by DoorDash. Imagine a world where you didn't have to pay delivery fees. Sign up for Dash Pass from DoorDash today and try it free for 30 days. DoorDash.
Nice.
Now, the Rosenberg mom and dad, they have two sons that are into hip-hop.
Yes.
Oh, this is so exciting.
If they were sitting next to Drake, would they know who he was?
Absolutely.
Really?
Oh, of course.
My
dad.
No way.
Would my dad recognize Drake? Of course he would.
Would he recognize George McGovern's grandson?
No, his grandson? He doesn't know his family.
Well, he should. Threw away 4 years of his life.
My mom would recognize Ozzy Osbourne.
What about Drake?
No.
How about Hostess? 1-800-919-3776. Peter doesn't know what I just did, but it's in
what,
New York.
Drake's cakes and yes, Hostess him. Cakes?
Yeah,
yeah. It was rough, but I was there.
Yeah. Well, Peter ended ENN a little soon. I don't even know where to go. I guess we'll go to take some phone calls. 1-800-919-37.
What you wanted, right? Let's see how it goes.
It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.